It was the Holy Spirit who gave these words. But He did not include Himself in verse 3. And it's just like Jesus said, He shall not speak of Himself, but He shall receive of Mine and show it unto you. And this is the most interesting verse. Verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 1. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You notice the second from, it's not in the original language. We'll make a reference back to that. And the be, the second word, is not in the original Greek, but it's simply saying grace unto you. But where's this grace going to come from? Certainly not coming from Paul. It's not coming from Sosthenes. Grace and peace were coming from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we have a lot of young people that are homeschooled. So I hope you will be listening now as we think about some of your day-to-day living, as you are taught in the home. Our young children are learning, or they have already learned in school, that all things must be done in proper order. Just the simple looking up of a word in the dictionary and learning to do that. You have a certain order to follow. To look up a word in a dictionary requires the ability to trace each letter to its place in the alphabetical order and to follow that order through the columns and the pages in the dictionary. Now, that seems very basic for some of our greatly educated young people, but for the teenagers, this may be a little more challenging. If our teenagers are to grasp the meaning of physiology in the study of biology, if they're to learn the physiology either of plants or animals, then they must first learn something of the cell. They must at least be introduced to the cell, and that must be introduced to some basic chemistry if they're going to learn the physiology of a plant or an animal. So there's an order. And this order is what we must all follow if we are to understand and learn reality. And this includes biblical order. Our text today has a very clear order within it. Verse 3, grace be unto you and peace. Now that is a special order. We're going to think about that a little more as we go along here in 1 Corinthians 1 and 3. The order is this. Grace always comes before peace. Because peace is a fruit of grace. Peace is a fruit of grace. The great theologians like to speak of and write about what they call the Ordo Salutis, which is simply, for us, the order of salvation. What is the order of salvation? The order of salvation, the Reformed theologians of the past and present have always said that first there is election, then there's regeneration, then conversion, faith, repentance, justification, adoption, sanctification, perseverance, and then glorification that we are looking forward to. Now, the apostles gave a very clear order in the Scriptures that the Spirit inspired through them. And you know, the apostles almost always began their letters to individual believers, like Timothy and Titus, and also to the specific churches, with this prayer that we have right here. You know, it's in Romans before it's in 1 Corinthians. It's in Romans chapter 1 and verse 7. And here it is in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 3. And you can follow it right through the epistles of Paul. But also, you can see that he's not the only apostle that spoke of grace and peace, even at the very outset of his letter. Well, Paul closed 2 Corinthians with the prayer that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost would be with them. So grace from God the Father and from Christ the Son, with the fruit of peace, are both the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending of real Christian experience, real Christian living. So this morning we're going to consider this ancient Christian password. You know, the Hebrews said in ancient times, Shalom. And they still say Shalom to one another. That's a greeting meaning peace to you. But in the New Testament, the greeting was especially in the ancient early church, grace and peace to you. Not just peace, but peace that's based especially on grace. All right, so we're looking at these two divine blessings. That's grace and peace, are the two divine blessings from the two divine persons, from the Father and from the Son. First of all, grace. Grace is the free favor of God toward His people. Oh, the blessedness of being a subject of God's rich grace. Although we are totally undeserving of His grace, and flip the coin over, we are fully deserving on the other side of His wrath, of His indignation. He has, though, from eternity, chosen us as the objects of His gracious favor. Grace is the goodness of God extended toward sinners. That's what grace is. It is the goodness of God extended toward sinners. How wonderful to have that grace extended to us. Grace is a charming sound. Jesus died for sinful men, and Jesus died for me. That is sweet. Sweet to the burdened soul, the soul that has known the awful burden of sin. Now, all the good things that we enjoy flow from this grace, whether the things are spiritual, whether they are providential, whether they are temporal or eternal, all the blessings that we enjoy flow to us from grace. Even to the lost man. The lost man enjoys what he enjoys from common grace. But God's people enjoy special grace. Remember, God said that His blessings are specially to them that believe. They're not specially to those that don't believe. They just happen to get some that God's giving to the world because we're here. The reason God blesses the world is because He has a remnant, a vast remnant of people across the earth. That's the reason that the whole world is not undergoing a tsunami or judgment continually. That's the reason that planes are not flying into buildings and buildings crashing down every day, and the whole world being in constant destruction. The Lord is showing common grace in some measure to the world because we're here. God's people all over the planet. What a blessing it is to have God's free favor upon us. We prosper and enjoy success with His favor on us. Now you say, well, where's the prosperity and where's the success? Please keep listening. Even when adversity is our experience, it too is sent to bless us and to enhance our salvation. For without God's grace, even our blessings, Even our successes would turn into a curse, but not for God's grace. But how wonderful is God's free grace. It is His good will toward men and His people in particular. Were it not for God's grace, there would be no such thing as a Christian. His special grace is all. And His special grace is only for His believing people. Now, common grace is for humanity. But His special grace is for those that believe in Him. This epistle is written only to those who know Christ and believe in Him. All grace is for the church. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. He is the God of all grace. Grace in all of its precious varieties belongs to God's people. Electing grace, calling grace, regenerating grace, redeeming grace, justifying grace, adopting grace, sanctifying grace, renewing grace, confirming grace. You remember? He's speaking about that in verse 8. Who shall confirm you to the end? Confirming grace, strengthening grace. His grace is especially for His people. All this grace comes from the Almighty and Eternal. And you know the Lord knows what each one of us need. What we will need our whole lives. And He has stored that grace up. And He will not only lay up that grace and keep it unto the very moment that we need it, but then with His loving, tender hand, He will dispense that grace to each one of us just as we need it. His thoughts toward us are more than can be numbered. We don't think of Him nearly enough. The ungodly man has not God in all his thoughts. But you know, the Lord is always thinking about His people. He's always looking upon us. Even as the Word of God tells us about that ancient land of Palestine, when they were going in to receive it, that His eye was on it from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. And His eye is upon us, each one, individually. And we couldn't do that. But the infinite, eternal God is designing His grace, dispensing His grace to us personally and individually, so preciously and tenderly every day. Since this epistle is for Christians, then we learn some things as Christians. We learn that all of us as believers need an increase in grace. Otherwise, why would Paul be praying, "Grace be unto you," if we didn't need it? But those who have the most grace stand in need of more. And we very clearly are commanded in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, we are commanded to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, how are we to grow in grace? Paul is showing us. He prays for grace at the outset of this chapter. Grace be unto you. And where's this grace going to come from? From God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to be asking God every day for grace, for more grace, for overcoming grace, for enabling grace, for confirming grace, for strengthening grace. Even as believers, don't we need to ask for more? We're not so self-sufficient. We're not so almighty, are we, that we need to go without asking for grace? No. The second divine blessing is not just grace, it's peace. Peace flows directly from grace as a fruit of it. Peace, what is peace? You have peace in your life. You have peace in your home. We're glad when we have peace in our home. It's so serene. It's so tranquil on those occasions. It is the absence of hostility. No longer are we fighting against God. Peace is the very opposite of strife. Grace is the mountain that supplies vast ocean of peace. Peace comes through justifying grace. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have that peace? The natural mind does not have it. The natural mind, the carnal mind, is enmity against God. And what does the natural mind do? The natural mind carries a constant warfare against God. You say, people are fighting against God? Well, the natural mind wishes that there was no such being as God. He wishes that he didn't have to give an account to God, that there would be no eternity, that there would be no judgment. The natural mind has such thoughts toward God. And those people who are in warfare against God are always ready to listen to an atheist scholar. They're always willing to listen to some infidel scientist that says he can prove that there's no God. Well, even PBS has run a little series about belief in God. Something that can't be ignored. But I tell you this, God cannot be ignored. This constant antagonism is carried on by God's enemies who are aliens in their mind by wicked works against Him. But when saving grace comes to such people and really deals with them, they are brought to peace with God. That mighty voice of the One who stilled the storm on the Sea of Galilee simply speaks His sovereign word to the soul. Peace! Be still. And hallelujah, there's a great calm. Didn't that wild man, the demoniac of Gadara, know it? Or where did the grace of God find him? In peace. Sitting at Jesus' feet, clothed and in His right mind. That's a picture of peace. So I ask you then, do you have peace with God? Are you enjoying that peace? Or do you still have a grudge against God? There are many people who have a grudge against God for something He did to them or something He did to someone else. Well, you've got to come and humble yourself before God. To have peace, you'll never be delivered from that inner turmoil and that restlessness until you come humbly and ask the Lord for His grace. Then He will give you that peace. Peace is not just peace with God. I like old C.H. McIntosh, even though Brother Spurgeon said, and Brother Spurgeon liked some things about him, Spurgeon said he had some of those Plymouthistic errors, for those who understand what that is. But anyway, Brother McIntosh said, there's not only peace with God that the Scripture speaks about, but there is the peace of God. Philippians 4:7, the peace of God ruling the heart. The natural restlessness of the sinner is calmed because the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest. Isaiah 57:20, this is the result of sin. Those who are not trusting in the Lord are full of anxiety. Those are the people whose faces have frowns and the faces show the lines of the terror-burdened life. They have that restlessness. They're thinking, what if this happens? And what if this doesn't happen right? Then I'm surely going to be destroyed by all these things. When the peace of God comes, we have peace not only with God, we have peace with our own consciences, and we are brought to peace with our circumstances. The peace of God reigning in the heart. But there's another step. We don't just come to have peace with God in justifying grace and come to enjoy the peace of God in sanctifying grace. But what a blessing it is to know the God of peace. Hebrews 13 and verse 20. We are delivered more and more from our anxieties and fears. I wonder, do you know the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant? It is through Him, through the Savior's blood, that He gives us this peace. Do you know the peace of God and the God of peace? If you don't, I hope you come to know Him today. Because if you don't enjoy this peace now, what's it going to be in eternity for you? Are you still torn with doubts and fears, even about your own salvation? It is the will of God for those who really know and trust Him to have peace. Wonderful peace coming down from the Father above. This peace establishes the believer's heart with a confident and an unrestrained access to the throne of God and into His very presence in prayer. Only the peace that comes from God will last, for all other seeming peace will end in a sad war throughout eternity for the wicked. Well, Paul was, even in this third verse, telling the Corinthians that they ought to have peace, the peace of godly unity with one another. Because what was he going to talk to them about? The divisions in the church. He was praying. Yes, he was praying. Not only would they enjoy grace, but peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. That they would have peace among themselves with their brethren in the congregation and not be party to divisive segments. For Hebrews 12:14, I believe Paul was writing again, and he said, follow peace with all men. Don't be divisive just for the fun of being divisive. No. The peace of God is what we need to earnestly strive for. But understand this. Peace is not a commodity. Peace is Christ Himself. Peace is not a product. Peace is a person. For Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14 about Christ. He is our peace. He is our peace. Colossians 1:20, having made peace through the blood of His cross, He is our everlasting peace. So let's understand this. If we're going to have dealings with God, we're not going to come to God like we would come to a vending machine to get some cookies or a sandwich or a drink. We come to God not to get a commodity or a product. We're coming to Him for Him, to know Him. Christ is our peace. It is good that Paul was praying this peace for the Corinthians. And here we see His good. He was praying not only for them, but for all that in every place call on the name of the Lord. Christ from all eternity is both the means and the end, the source and the fountain, in whom and from whom all true peace flows. He is the great restorer of peace where sin and Satan have breached that peace. He is the reconciler who brings His redeemed people into peace and into favor with God and takes away the natural enmity of our minds. He has opened the way of peace with God by shedding His own blood. And He ever lives to keep the peace and to keep the way of peace opened for us by His intercession. Precious, precious Jesus. How sweet amidst all the troubles of this world it is to have peace in and through our Lord and Savior. Well, we must leave grace and peace. These are the two divine blessings which come through the two divine persons. They come from God our Father. First of all, God is our Father by creation, for it is He that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are His people. He is also the Father of His believing people by adoption. He has put us in the number who have all the rights and the privileges of the children of God. And we are now able to cry out, Abba, Father, in prayer. We were by nature the children of wrath. And we were, as we came into this world, we were those that Jesus was speaking about. Ye are of your father the devil. We were children of wrath. We were children of the devil by nature. Well, as such, we were not only enemies of God the Father, but He was our enemy as well. We were the right objects of His righteous anger. And we were liable to be cut down at any moment and cast into the fire because of our sin. But God, who is rich in mercy, sent His Son to redeem us from sin and from all iniquity, to make peace with God for us and to be our peace. Our Savior has done that because the Father. This is grace indeed from God our Father. He is the very source of all grace, and we enjoy affectionate protection through His mercy. We have not only grace from God our Father, but also peace from the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Prince of Peace. From Christ we enjoy authoritative protection by His might. From the Father we have affectionate protection through His mercy. From the Son we have authoritative protection through His might. This passage, verse 3, links together God and Lord under the same Greek preposition from. The Greek preposition from is apo, A-P-O, and use it many ways in our English language as a prefix, but it is showing that peace and grace come from the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, Christ is the co-equal, the co-eternal, the co-essential Son of God. God the Son with the Father. Here we see that all the blessings of God come to us through Christ. He is the only mediator between God and men. He not only goes for us to the Father in prayer and takes our prayers and offers them to the Father, but He takes all the grace from the Father and communicates that with all its blessings and peace to us. Christ as God reigns in us, rules over us, and defends us from all our and from all His enemies. We owe Him all of our allegiance, therefore. The apostle was simply writing to the church in Corinth. And in this prayer, in this greeting he was giving, which was a prayer, there suddenly, yet naturally, burst forth this marvelous doctrine of the persons of the Godhead. It's not forcing a doctrine on God's people, but simply and naturally lifting up the grace of God. And in Christ, its fruit, peace. Here is another incidental proof that Christ is truly and properly God. So let us worship Him with God the Father and with God the Holy Spirit. Now how does this third verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 apply to you and apply to me? There are several things that I think we can conclude with here today. Number one, This verse teaches us that we must love Christ and His Father, that we must obey their voice and trust in them for grace, for peace, and protection. Secondly, we are to come boldly yet reverently to the Father in prayer through Christ, who has made peace between us and the Father through the blood of His cross. We are to come boldly, but we are also to come reverently because He is the Father of mercies. Thirdly, here we are. We are to earnestly endeavor to live peaceably with all men as much as is possible. We read in Romans at the close of that epistle, especially with the household of faith. We read that in Galatians. Peace doesn't begin in the church. Where does peace begin? Peace begins in the heart. And then peace lives in the home. If we have peace in our hearts and we have peace in our homes, then we bring God's peace with us into the church. And it ought to continue there. Fourthly, verse 3 is a prayer for grace. Are you asking the Lord for more of His grace? For more of His enabling power to grow in grace? And in the knowledge of Him every day, that's something we ought to be praying every day for grace. Lord, give me grace so I'll know how to treat my family. Give me grace so I'll know how to respond to those that I meet outside my home today. Give me grace, even in my relationship with Thee, that I will know Thee better. That I will walk with Thee more closely. That I will enjoy Thee more and really sense Thy presence and know the reality of this Christianity. We need to pray for this grace every day. Fifthly, the Lord God has put order in all of His creation. We started with that, thinking about children learning order, even by looking up a word in a dictionary or studying science. The divine order is always evident in God's creation. The divine order is always evident in spiritual things as well. Grace always comes before peace. You must experience God's saving grace in Christ before you will ever have real peace in your heart and life. So I ask you, do you today have peace with God? Do you still have a grudge against God? Do you have a grudge against Him for something that He has allowed to come about in your life? Or something that He has done in someone else's life? Well, it's time to lay down the weapons of your warfare against Him. And it's time to ask Him for peace through grace in Christ's blood. And in Christ's righteousness. For there is peace. Let's bow our heads and pray together. Lord, we do cry unto Thee for grace and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Here are some of our greatest needs. Lord, we pray that Thou will simply teach us these profound truths. They are simple, and yet they are so deep. Lord, please write Thy word upon our hearts. May we indeed be what we ought to be, living epistles of Thee, known and read of all men. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt speak to those who have this natural restlessness in their hearts, this awful, overpowering anxiety
and fear. Pray that Thou wilt cause them to see that there is only peace in Christ. We pray that Thou wilt give them grace today to sue for that peace from God the Father in the name and through the blood and righteousness of our Lord Jesus. Lord, bless the truth to us. Cause us to walk in it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.